On this episode of DC On Screen, DC fandom success has the powers that be doing that Mr. Burns thing with their hands. The Batman's Robert Pattinson has COVID-19, and we're going to talk about what that means for production, plus the latest updates on Ray Fisher's ongoing battle with Warner Brothers Pictures. All that and more after a commercial from some paying entity we were not at all consulted about.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Welcome into DC On Screen episode 612. This is the podcast where we talk the DC Comics multiverse on film and television, give honest opinions on projects upcoming and past, and believe that every version of a property is valid, even if we don't want it to be. If it's been released, it is fair game, so beware of spoilers, and welcome to the show. I'm David C. Robertson, and this, the sole owner of Chimera's shriveled but surprisingly still salty foreskin, Jason Goss.
I'm not even touching that one. Go for it.
I think you already did.
Nom, nom, nom. And we move on as quickly as possible.
I didn't get that from anywhere. That just like those words just flowed out of my brain, and I laughed as I wrote them.
Good.
Oh, thank you so much to our to all of our listeners, but especially at this juncture to our patrons over on the Patreon, patreon.com/DCOnScreen. $1 a month gets you every episode ad free. $5 a month gets you every episode ad free plus extra episodes that aren't in the main feed. So, I mean,
and more of those coming.
You never know when those are going to pop up. The last thing I put up was the compilation of the old Winter Woman.
And Patreon didn't burn down, so we're in good shape.
No, it was a fine thing. And we even slipped in wobbly boots, you know, Nathan, like cussing out old Winter Woman.
That was good.
And then it comes back and Winter Woman's like, they didn't want me around. Anyway.
I sure enjoyed her musings, but
yeah. And
it
we
was
got
an acquired taste. I get it. I also like a strong double IPA. You know, what are you going to do?
Drink.
Hey, can't account for them all.
Do want to give a shout out to our friends Tim and Scott over at the DC Film Squadcast. They've been going for 5 years.
That is impressive too.
I mean, it is really impressive. I can't think of any other podcast that has gone 5 years. No, I did this. I did that on Twitter. I'm sorry. No, they're genuinely great guys, and I love the show. I listen to it. I won't say every week, but I do listen to every episode. I just usually do them in like 5 hour chunks when I have time.
Yeah, no, fair.
I might actually go and listen to this week's episode jump ahead because of all the crap that's been going down. But it's been a couple weeks since we talked, so let's get into some of this.
It has.
So DC Fandome did 22 million in attendance.
Jesus.
And that was part one. Like, part two is on the 12th. So that's like Saturday.
Which would presumably have less?
Presumably, but because, it's, you know, it's all the TV stuff.
Yeah, it's like, well, it's TV, comics, and some insider stuff. There's still plenty of movie stuff, but it's like behind the scenes, the insiderverse or whatever they're calling it. Which I swear they're trying to piggyback off the word Snyderverse there, but, you know, just a wild, like, Duchovny-esque speculation on my part.
I don't know. Multiverse, everything's just kind of... I'm not getting too conspiratorial about that one with Snyder.
No, I was getting more into like neuro-linguistic programming bullshit, which is... I would definitely have to call it at the Chomsky level. But...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so but movies are on a different tier of how many millions they bring, for sure. We all know that.
Yeah.
But damn, 22. Hell, if you did half of that for the rest, shit.
Yep.
Do you see the average for SDCC?
No.
I think it was 15,000.
Jeez.
I honestly think that's the number I saw was 15,000 viewers.
Yep. And I mean, they're definitely looking at doing this again. And like,
if I was completely wrong by a digit and it's 115, that's still.
Yeah. The head of Warner Media Studios and Networks Group, Ann Sarnoff, she said, after Fandom, we saw viewership of our DC properties pop on HBO Max. We're using all our businesses to drive new businesses. They are looking at doing this again, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Don't blame them.
Good Lord.
I mean, yeah. Shit. That's impressive.
It's clear we have a very big fan base that wants to stay very connected to us, she told Variety. We're going to keep doing it in the spirit of super serving fans and then see if there's a way to monetize it.
That's pretty much your job. Yeah,
of course. Yeah. Well, a lot of people don't understand that. They just think, oh, her job is to sit in a chair and make us happy.
No, it's very much to monetize our happiness. And I wish you the best of luck.
Yeah.
You need to make more money to make me make more products that make me happy.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where I'm on this podcast bitching about how much stuff there is to watch.
Yeah. By the way, you asked me earlier, like, is this going to be like a bad news episode? Like, this is going to be episode all news is like really bad and kind of bummer news. I'm like, yeah, a lot of it is.
I mean, that's kind of what I was seeing, feeling, what I was expecting.
You want to feel old on top of being having a bummer?
Oh, okay. Do I get anything in between? Is there like a sandwich effect here, or is it just going to go right into bummer?
Oh, remember how I said DC Fandom did 22 million?
Yeah, okay.
That was a good news.
About the demographic, aren't you?
No. Oh, I'm okay. About to tell you that Batman Animated Series is 28 years old as of 3 years ago. Oh, 3 days ago. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, I did see that, and you're right.
Mm-hmm.
It did make me feel old.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to call it time well spent.
Sure. I mean, yeah.
I don't think that's accurate even as I say it. I can't help but call myself a fucking liar, but it's still, 28, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jesus. Like, we've talked about our memories of it, and I remember, like, rushing home from school to try to get there to, I think it aired at 4 p.m. on our WB network that was a thing at the time.
I mean,
in our area.
Well, in my area, it was Fox Kids still.
Oof. Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
That was a minute.
It was Fox Kids.
Try to record on a VHS player.
They would air, I think it was Batman Animated Series and then Power Rangers, maybe.
You know, I want to say that. At some point, it started getting into like BTAS, Animaniacs, Tiny Toons. Like, I wish I could find that programming schedule to see if I remember it at all correctly.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. That 4 and 4:30 was... choice programming for us.
I remember having to get up to see Power Rangers. Like, I had to get up at 6:30.
I think they may have moved Power Rangers there when Batman went to WB.
Okay.
To Kids WB. Because, there for a while they were doing, I know they were doing Batman Animated Series and Eek the Cat.
I do remember Eek the Cat.
Sharky the Shark Dog.
Yeah. I kind of gave up and went to read something around then.
Yeah, I hated that show.
Wasn't my chosen one, no.
And I feel like there was a point where it was like Batman the Animated Series and then X-Men the Animated Series. But at some point, Power Rangers came in at like 4.
It was Fox, maybe.
Yeah.
God, when we talk about these days, that's a lot. Like, to get that scheduled now between, Viacom, which is, I think, Paramount these days?
I don't even know.
I don't know who the hell owns the Power Rangers right now.
I don't know. Last I remember, Disney had bought them, but I think they gave them up.
Mm.
I think they got rid of them.
Bounced on that one. Yeah, I get it. And then I don't know. I think it's Fox who still owns TV Marvel in some capacity, but not all. And then a lot of that just came back.
Anyway.
Yeah, a lot of that came back with the recent deal and all that. You know, it would be a nightmare to schedule now. Our childhood is forever gone. There is no trace of it. It's in the wind, my friend.
Shut up. Stop. It's too much of a bummer. DC hired Daniel Cherry, former CMO of Activision, as the new general manager.
Oh, okay.
Hopefully to take some off of Jim. Actually, his first day was today.
Mm. And good luck, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, he's running the business side, so Jim Lee can do the creative side.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
He's walking into a hard first day.
And you know what? I think by the end of the year, definitely by the end of next year, Jim Lee will be running DC Films. I think he'll be the president.
I kind of don't doubt it.
Oh, I don't think so. I think Hamada's going away.
It's possible given what we're about to talk about.
Yep.
It's also like of all the players that are still there, Jim Lee's like every time something happens, I sort of brace myself for and Jim Lee, and then I never quite find it. Like, okay, I don't know what he was up to, but he's not named.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's clean.
But yeah,
it's also gotten to the point where like it feels like an LA thriller from the like a crime thriller from the 40s where somebody's like, I think he's clean, and there's some like grizzly dude with a whiskey bottle pouring a sloppy shot, being like, nobody's clean, son. That's just how the streets are, you know.
Yeah,
he throws a cigar at a stripper and exits the building without paying his fucking tab.
You sound like Norm Macdonald talking about the first episode of Kojak on Comedians in Cars.
Oh, nice. That's pretty
she
much
was a good girl. Apple pie. She was a hooker.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. So this segment I have lovingly entitled Ray Fisher versus the World. last episode we told you that that Ray posted this. He says, after 5 weeks of interviews with various cast and crew, Warner Media has officially launched an independent third-party investigation to get to the heart of the toxic and abusive work environment created during Justice League reshoots. This is a massive step forward. I believe this investigation will show that Geoff Johns, Joss Whedon, John Berg, and others, in parentheses, grossly abused their power during the uncertainty of AT&T's merger with Time Warner. And then he thanks Warner Media and AT&T for making strides to ensure a safer workplace for all. Well, on Friday, September 4th, Ray Fisher tweets.
I'm literally making a notebook column here.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like good and bad and some bubbles.
It'll do what you do.
To try to keep track of it. Just uh-huh. As an exercise.
On Friday, September 4th, Ray tweets, so you can better understand how deep this goes. After speaking out about Justice League, I received a phone call from the president of DC Films. That's Walter Hamada, mm-hmm. for everyone keeping track.
Those playing at home.
Wherein he attempted to throw Joss Whedon and John Berg under the bus in hopes that I would relent on Geoff Johns. I will not.
I am now making a frowny face with devil horns pointing to Whedon and Berg from Hamada, all of mm-hmm. whom are now in the bad column.
Mm-hmm.
Just keeping score.
So that was on September 4th. And then also on September 4th, after the news cycle had died down, this was late in the evening, which is suspect as hell.
I do remember that timing being weird. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Warner Brothers Pictures, not Warner Media, Warner Brothers Pictures, underline, via the rap, put out this PR statement.
Mm-hmm.
In July, Ray Fisher's representatives asked DC Films president Walter Hamada to talk to Mr. Fisher about his concerns during the production of Justice League. The two had previously spoken when Mr. Hamada asked him to reprise his role as Cyborg in Warner Brothers' upcoming Flash movie, together with other members of the Justice League. Now see, already... They're doing right there.
Trying to group.
They're trying to make fans angry at Ray Fisher for holding this up.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to say like, oh, we can have Cyborg and the whole Justice League and the Flash movie, but no, he's doing this shit. They continue.
I will caveat that with that is an interpretation of events. I will also say that is an interpretation of events that I agree with.
Mm-hmm.
There are other ways. I just think that's the right one.
Mm-hmm. I mean, why would you say that? Why? Why would you say that?
I mean, there are other ways to possibly interpret that phrase, but it doesn't, they don't make any sense.
You know what that's saying? They're like, by the way, they were doing Flashpoint.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They are doing Flashpoint. Other members of the Justice League. Hell, who are there? Superman? Have y'all been begging for Superman? Aquaman? Other members. That's plural. It's, Wonder Woman? That's the entire Justice League. You can-
the phrase begs the question. You're baiting with it is the point.
Yes. Like,
that's the whole absolutely. Thing. You're literally trying to make me extrapolate exactly what you expect me to extrapolate without having to say it exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've seen tons of fans on mainly on Facebook. Our Twitter feed is pretty curated. Like we are friends with who we agree with.
We have blocked a lot of people. That's a fact. Or muted.
We have blocked and muted a ton of people.
Yeah.
But like you go over to Facebook, that's when your people are like, oh, they got hung up on that sentence. You know, you could tell. They're just like, oh, son of a bitch, Ray, what are you doing? You're just whining because you had to say booyah. And I'm like, oh, you bastards, you don't understand.
That was the implication as it was meant to be. Hey, by the way, if at any point you think as a listener that you are one of the people maybe we blocked or muted and maybe, you know, you can just direct message us. We will respond.
Can they?
Unless
can
it's
they?
Absolute insanity. But right.
Can they message us if we've muted them though?
Oh no, I just mean like we like if find anything DC on screen and you can find us there. We can be stalked easily. Mm-hmm. So if you genuinely want to ask us about something and you feel like we've just muted you, you can.
Or you can just you know message us at dconscreen@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't muted you. Ooh, excuse me. Yeah, we haven't muted you in the email.
Mm-mm. Yeah, we're still contactable. If
just hey, whatever bullshit by, you're espousing on Twitter,
we may have done it by accident. For God's sake, it's possible.
I guess it's possible. Probably not.
just saying. Contact us if you have any reservations that you feel were
right.
I don't know. Unaccounted for. Unheard. Whatever.
Unjust. Whatever.
I am happy to talk about them.
They continue, though. This is still the PR
mm-hmm.
bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah.
In their July conversation.
This is a full color commentary.
That's right.
Reading.
Why not?
Yeah, go for it, man. I'll stop you if I disagree.
Yeah. In their July conversation, Mr. Fisher recounted disagreements he had had with the film's creative team mm-hmm. regarding his portrayal of Cyborg mm-hmm. and complained that his suggested script revisions were not adopted. Now, see that right there? They're trying to make him sound like a spoiled brat.
Hold on. They're not doing it yet. I remember the sentence that comes next. They're laying the groundwork to do so.
Yeah. Mr. Hamada explained that creative differences are a normal part of the production process and that a film's writer-director ultimately has to be in charge of these matters. Mm-hmm. Notably, Mr. Hamada also told Mr. Fisher that he would elevate his concerns to Warner Media so they could conduct an investigation. At no time did Mr. Hamada ever, quote, throw anyone under the bus, as Mr. Fisher has falsely claimed, or render any judgments about the, quote, Justice League production in which Mr. Hamada had no involvement, since filming occurred before Mr. Hamada was elevated to his current position.
Okay, there are two things.
Mm-hmm.
One... and your tone of voice indicates it, I think, pretty accurately.
Yeah.
The idea that Hamada was explaining to a kindergartner that, well, sometimes you can't get what you want.
Right.
That is explained in explicit detail. And the fact is, here's the crazy part. In terms of the words literally spoken to people, it mm-hmm. may have literally gone down that way. It may have literally been Fisher explaining that, you know, hey, what if I said this? And then somebody just kind of shrugging him off and saying, like, hey, dude, it's his call. And I could still phrase it the way that you said right then.
Yeah.
And that might make it sound like Fisher's being, you know, obstinate. What's like mm-hmm. that he's demanding some kind of creative control that he has no right to.
Right.
Contextually, we all know that's fucking how this works. Like yeah. We all know this how this works. That's Absolutely. Just making him sound childish for no yeah. fucking reason. It's infantilizing. The only part that I was curious about was the breakdown of timeline about when Hamada joined the picture. Like, it's not that clean. And I know Hamada joined, joined in any real effectual way. You know, pretty much after the Sugihara Emmerich, I'll just call it fiasco.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if it's so far back that, like, you could consider the idea that it's so far back that, yeah, he probably didn't have anything hands-on, day-to-day, to do with 2017 Justice League in the production.
Yeah. No, but I just...
Is he excusing it now is the difference.
I honestly don't remember Ray necessarily saying that Hamada had rendered any judgments about Justice League's production. Aside from being, you know, willing to throw Joss and John Berg under the bus.
Yeah, that's kind of what I meant. Like, the... With Hamada, all right, you know the old phrase? You know, we grew up in the South, so I heard it referring to Clinton. It's not what you did, it's right. The cover-up.
I never heard that. Everyone I knew was like, no, it's absolutely what you did.
They have no concept of American presidential history.
No, they don't. What are you talking about? No, of course they don't. It begins and ends with, well, we like Reagan.
Let me, just a briefer, this is on the syllabus for that course. Presidents get a lot of blowjobs. I'm sorry. And they're not always in the appropriated manner, we'll call it.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a way that would be prescribed by the, quote, decent person from back in the day. So, right.
Well,
anyway.
I think the, quote, decent person back in the day would say it was sodomy and... There is no appropriate blowjob, but
that's a varying degree of decent person. And you know,
back in the day is the thing that made me go take pause to your statements.
No, we're in the South where some of these laws are still fucking on the books.
Oh, I know.
So back in the day for us means very little sometimes. So point being,
back in the day means back in the back office there where they're going to prosecute your ass
today.
Today. Yeah. You put what in or where? No, come on, boy.
Yeah. All right. So the only difference, the only differentiation I'm making, and the only thing I had question about in the entire article, that statement was okay. Well, maybe we can separate what Hamada was in charge of at the time for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're just talking about how he's handling what's coming out now, which is not great.
Yeah. I don't care for the way he's handling this at all.
Not this. And I'm sure this is a sentiment you've shared on many occasions. Given my excitement of a multiverse panel just a couple weeks ago, it's rather disappointing.
It is. Yeah, I had a kind of a long conversation with Ray of Fans Without Borders about that.
I did see that, actually, now that you say it.
A couple days ago. I'm just like, oh, God, this is such a bummer.
Yeah. It's a little bit exhausting. Not going to lie.
Yeah.
I expect to regroup and you know, have a better day and a better outlook. But this is an exhausting week to see what's going on.
Mm-hmm. They continue. While Mr. Fisher never alleged any actionable misconduct against him, Warner Media nonetheless initiated an investigation into the concerns he had raised about his character's portrayal.
Mm-hmm.
Still not satisfied, Mr. Fisher insisted that Warner Media hire an independent third-party investigator. This investigator has attempted multiple times to meet with Mr. Fisher to discuss his concerns, but to date, Mr. Fisher has declined to speak to the investigator. Warner Brothers remains committed to accountability and to the well-being of every cast and crew member on each of its productions. It also remains committed to investigating any specific and credible allegation of misconduct. See, now that's kind of specifying that his Ray's allegation isn't credible.
Mm-hmm.
Or specific.
Incredible.
They're not even implying. The next line is, which thus far Mr. Fisher has failed to provide. That is like, they're not even implying it.
Incredible in a legal sense means, you know, a lot of times, I guess, not always. It means literally without credentials.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible, if you're reading it, means fucking incredible. Like the film franchise should be called The Without Merits, which doesn't sound as good.
Mm-hmm.
It just does not hit the same.
Right. And, you know, after this dropped, Boris Kitt decided to, like, pop up and be like, what's complicating all this back and forth is that Fisher is deep in talks / negotiations to reprise Cyborg for the Flash movie. Well, yeah, they said that in the article, buddy. Thank you. Sorry, I just want to be petty about that. September 5th.
Hold on. All right. Who does Boris Kitt work for?
Who is it? I can't remember now.
Off the top of my head. I'm going to try to look that up as you go.
Let's see.
I only asked because
Hollywood Reporter.
Okay. Sorry. I only asked because if it comes when he's standing. We are now, by my count, dealing with four different corporate entities mm-hmm. on my little chart I'm making. Uh-huh. And only one of them has so far been called out specifically.
Right. All right. So September 5th, Ray Fisher mm-hmm. writes, "Thank you all for the support and for seeing through WB Pictures. Desperate and scattershot attempt to discredit me to continue protecting those in power. I met with the investigator via Zoom on August 26th. Below is an email I sent to my team and SAG-AFTRA, which is the union, mm-hmm. Immediately after. Here's the screenshot." He has the screenshot.
He literally posted the screenshot. Yeah, it was like, that was pretty funny.
Immediately he's like, "Hey, they lying."
It was not. And it was quick, too. It was not. Yeah. He did not. Do you remember when he first really came out with this? We were joking about, yeah, you haven't heard anything because he's talking to his fucking lawyers. Mm-hmm. He did not need to talk to his lawyers about it. This was like 24 hours later. It was already posted with a screenshot.
Yeah. He's got the screenshot dated August 26th, 2020.
If he did talk to him, like, yeah, man, go.
12:49 p.m. "Hey, crew."
Hey, fam.
Just got off the line with the investigator. Had to end the interview early before going into detail with him. He's definitely been put on the case by Warner Brothers Pictures, not Warner Media. His findings will go directly and solely to Warner Brothers Pictures Legal. He also had another person on the line as a witness, which we were not made aware of. I told him I needed to have a rep on the line as security for myself. He tried to keep me on the line, but I told him I would need to consult my team before proceeding. Can we jump on a call? Discuss soon. Best, Ray." He also tweeted, "It's also worth noting that I made it clear to the world on August 21st that I would be vetting the investigator to ensure a fair and protected process for all witnesses." Warner Brothers Pictures has escalated this to an entirely different level, but I'm ready to meet the challenge. Now, he posted a video. It's 15 minutes long. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to kind of gloss over, get some of the big talking points here. And I'll post a link to the actual video because it's, if you're interested in any of this, it's really is mother's milk.
Yeah.
And I ain't talking about the cat from The Boys.
I wondered, actually, for a second.
Yeah. Ray's new video, he says, one, that he's shocked that WB Pictures had the audacity to put out a statement like this because it puts them in such a weird, bad position. It's not a good look, which obviously. Mm. He says they have no idea what receipts he's been keeping of all of his interactions, and he's been keeping all of them, apparently. Mm-hmm. He points out that it's a blanket PR statement. He says, note that there is no quote from Hamada or anyone else. It is a sad and desperate game, but a predictable one. He says that during his talk with Walter Hamada, it became clear that Walter was trying to see what he knew and who told him things, trying to find out who the troublemakers were in order to protect John's and future John's projects, like Wonder Woman 1984. Hamada said, according to Ray, Hamada said, "Well, Ray, I worked with Jeff on Shazam. I don't really think that he would do that sort of stuff or be that sort of." And he goes, "You weren't there. I'm telling you, you weren't there. You weren't there when the man used back channel communications to call me into his office and made the veiled threat to my career. You weren't there for that. I said you weren't there when Jeff Johns contacted me in 2018, a year and a half after Justice League, while I was shooting True Detective, to gloat, using back-channel communications, to gloat that there was another cyborg being used in the DC Universe show that he was producing. I said, Walter, you weren't there for those things. You can't tell me about it." Mm. He says he received a call from the head of HR vice president the vice president of labor relations from Warner Brothers. He says he had a 2-hour initial conversation with them where he detailed beat for beat, gave them names of people they should interview. He says he didn't want to tell Walter Hamada names because those people didn't have, any big social media following to protect them. No one to know if they were, taken out, fired, whatever.
Yeah. No hashtag will save.
Right. So He says he talked a lot about how this is an impossible task for Warner Brothers to do, releasing generalized statements in response to his, you know, pretty concise statements, especially when, you know, he's got the receipts. He says they opened up a can of worms and there are going to be certain things that I'm now going to be saying publicly, not about the specific experiences in Justice League, but about how the things have been handled up until this point, since I've come out with these allegations about Whedon, Johns, and Berg. And if you remember, I left in quotation marks, he means parentheses, and others. It was a very specific reason why I put "and others" when I mentioned the Warner Media investigation. So shame on them for doing that. And if they're hoping that I sue them so that they can go on and ask a judge to put a gag order on me until all this stuff is done, they've got another think coming. I don't care what the situation ends up being. You're not going to keep me quiet. He says they tested the waters with that statement, and I think people saw through it immediately, and it backfired on them in a big way, because when I can furnish receipts to immediately refute critical pieces of information that you're trying to use to defame me, you are toast.
That's actually dead accurate. I mean,
yep.
That is how that's going to play out long term, too. Like, sorry. It's.
He says, I'm going to stay on them. I'm going to make sure that the investigation situation is one that is fair and that protects everybody that's got a story to tell, because it ends up some of the people that have stories to tell do not have the protection of having large social media following to go to a bat for them. Some of the people that have stories to tell, if it gets into the wrong hands, into the hands of a person who's just simply looking to see who the troublemakers are, those people are the ones that are going to get hurt beyond repair. So he's looking out for those people too. He says he's lucky that he's got SAG-AFTRA on it, because a lot of this information has been directed to them as well. So he'll be reaching out to them to make sure that he can coordinate the efforts to make sure that this doesn't escalate into a smear campaign. And he says, because, you know, if they can't buy you and they can't bully you, the only thing they're going to try to do is discredit you. I don't know. I've got a hell of a lot of respect for him after this. Like, I already had it, but good Lord.
Yeah, there are only two hypotheses you can possibly hold at this point. Either he is completely full of shit.
Yeah.
I mean, like, completely full of shit. Like, has no receipts, full of shit. You have to take it to an absurd extreme to have that. Or he's working on something. He's got the receipts.
Yeah. I mean, he's already showed us some of the receipts.
Yeah.
He says, I already know once we get it to the people who are actually going to be impartial, the people at Warner Media, and I say Warner Media, not Warner Brothers, because there was an issue with respect to us being told that the investigator was working for Warner Media. And then I have found out that it was a person working for Warner Brothers, and there's a massive distinction. So there's a lot of floundering back and forth in email conversation as to who this person is actually working for. So the one thing I cannot have happen, one thing I will not do, is rush through a situation like this simply for them to throw two individuals who they no longer have any business ties with under the bus in order to protect other individuals who were at the company and who may still be at the company. And that's what the bottom line.
And then, of course, you have Jason Momoa, freaking billion dollar man, Aquaman himself, posting a picture of Ray Fisher with the I Heart Zack Snyder shirt on from SDCC 2017, and with the hashtag I Stand With Ray Fisher. So, I mean, if anyone's out there wondering, hey, well, why isn't anyone else standing up? Here it is. This is freaking Aquaman.
I think there's definitely fire to this smoke.
Yeah. I mean, I actually thought this was going to be a bit of a bummer, and you know what? Now hearing it all,
it's laid a little out, empowering.
And looking at my chart that I've made here, yeah, it is. It is. There's a little bit of fire in my belly about, like, you know what? Pin those fuckers to the wall. Like, yes, absolutely. It's going to cost. It hurts, because some of the names that are being pinned against the wall are going to take some emotional reckoning to deal with, like, you know, that the long awaited, I mean, 2 years and some change, three Jokers just came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to be three issues.
Yeah.
It's really good. Like, really good.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not disputing that Geoff Johns can write. I just apparently he should be in charge of things.
Yeah, he should just have, like, an email account and be left to his home.
Well, no, if he has an email account.
That's true. He should have a typewriter.
If he's got an email account, he's going to be, you know, messaging little girls.
Apparently. If the allegations are true.
Of all the things we're talking about, that one's on the... I don't know. That one's on... It shouldn't be on the back burner as far as the severity, but on the back burner as far as stuff that's more or less immediately coming to light and or provable.
Right.
That... yeah, that... I don't know about that part for sure. But goddamn, he can write his story for DC.
Yeah, he can.
That's the emotionally conflicting part. Like, yeah, I bought three Jokers. It was really good. I regret nothing about the story itself. If anything, I'm kind of hoping that we just... I would like something to pin him to the wall enough that I can stop having this conversation with myself. Like, look, mm-hmm. he deserves whatever's coming here and there. And God, man, you want him off the table, off the field, off the board, whatever.
Yeah, I never heard a lot of people make the argument like, well, great genius artists are dicks often. Like,
yes, they that don't is have true. To be.
They don't have to be.
No, they don't. And
they're dicks because people let them be.
Sometimes. I genuinely, like, there's a spectrum to everything, and there's a crossover period where, like, certain people who, historically there wasn't a word for it, looking back would have been called, you know, somewhere on the autistic spectrum, that have, like, just genuinely don't have, like, the brain is just formed differently for certain people. It does not hit the same way. Like, their social interactions don't hit the same way. So somebody mm-hmm. like Newton is, yeah, dude had an IQ of probably a little over 200. That's insane. And his social interactions were shit and a half. They asked him when he was like 80 or 60 or some shit. He was old as fuck. I'm sorry. I don't mean to call 60 even old as fuck. But he was.
Yeah, I felt offended by that. I'm like, I'm not even.
He was like 2 years from when he died. I can't remember if it was 80 or 60. He was old as fuck for him. And they asked him, like, what's your greatest accomplishment? And it was like, fucking Newton. And he said, like, well, I've, you know, I've been celibate for 80 years. I guess it was 80. Given the rest of my conversation. But yeah, that's a ridiculous thing to say or think or conceive for most people, that, you know, decent evidence that he might have been that. Or, hey, by the way, fun alternate theory, just deeply mercury poisoned because he was an alchemist. But point is, we don't know what to make of people historically or even in present time. We don't know necessarily what to make. But dear God, like, the more information I can get so I can have an actual opinion, it's for the better as much as it's a bummer to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Johns is a great example of this for me, or is becoming one. Whedon, I guess, was 2 months ago.
Yeah, is, you know, it sucks. It really does. And, Ray tweeted out on the 7th, he says, it really is a shame that WB Pictures willfully chose to publicly undermine the seriousness of the toxicity and abuse that myself and others have reported to WBHR and labor relations. They tried to minimize me as being an actor with petty creative differences. They failed.
Pretty heartily. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there are plenty of people, like I said, who bought it hook, line, and sinker. Or just... out there going, well, Ray's a stupid kid. He's just, you know, whining that he didn't get his way.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why would he risk his entire career? Like, they acted like he is one person who doesn't have a team of agents and all sorts of and lawyers and shit. Like, why would he do this? Something happened. I don't know exactly what. We know a couple of little things. And the stuff that we've heard from sources don't put Johns or Whedon in a good light. Just saying, for everyone still out there rallying to their defense, you know. And, you know, Ray Flightcast on Fans Without Borders made a great point. It was like, you know, if you like, they WB has been lying to us for years.
Mm-hmm.
We keep finding out how they keep lying to us.
Yeah.
Why are we not listening
to the history of this podcast? We have been taken in a couple times.
Absolutely.
Specifically regarding the Justice League movie.
Yeah. And he's like, the fact that, you know, people are willing to stick up for this, you know, century-old corporation who continuously lies to us rather than this young black guy, which, by the way, that is totally a thing.
That should change your understanding of this conversation. It really, I'm sorry if you don't agree, but it really should.
I mean, they called him uncooperative.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is, you know, that is a thing that
people say about black guys to discredit them.
Yeah.
It just is.
Yeah. And it, if you don't think that has some power to, you know, essentially call somebody uppity, it really does.
Yeah. It's not okay.
No.
But, I don't know. All of this has left a bad taste in my mouth. All of this has pissed me off with Warner Brothers Pictures. And, you know, to be clear, it is different than Warner Max. It is, you know, it's not Warner Media so far.
No.
As Ray pointed out.
And the limited, it's very limited. Like, need to look into fucking stock statements to be sure. But in the limited amount that I've looked around, you know, Warner Media and AT&T are pretty well bound. I think that's why Fisher is tying his horse to Warner Media.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is, it's new blood and it's his best shot at getting a third person to really investigate the situation and say, hey, we have more problems here.
Well, Warner Media used to be Time Warner. That's what AT&T bought. Like, Warner Media is over everything. So, like, Warner Brothers Pictures is a separate entity within Warner Media, and then, like, Warner Max is a separate entity, and so on and so forth. Like, Warner Media is the parent company. They would be the most impartial.
Yeah, and tied more directly. Warner Brothers Pictures, I'm really trying to verify this because I ran across it at some point, but just give me a second. Doop, doop, doop. Yep.
It has now been several seconds.
Yeah, so still Toby Emmerich.
Yeah, and we know what kind of dick that dude is.
Yeah, like if we have to... All right, so point is, if we're looking for a common tie here, it's probably that name.
Yeah.
Given everything we've learned since 2017, that would be who I'd point to and say, you know what... I think this is maybe the great silencer of the group.
Yeah. I want Kilar and Sarnoff to be like, dude, get Emmerich out. Get Hamada out if he's the problem. Like, get rid of the problems.
And like we said, when Sugihara had to resign for reasons that, like we said at the time, he should have had to resign on merits of his job, not on the fact that he had literally worsened some other people's lives to do so.
Right. Yeah.
Emmerich, I mean, that should have to resign on his job.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree.
I mean, all right, if you need something to tie it to, Emmerich's part of the reason Cavill's face looks fucked up in Justice League.
Yes.
It's just, if we have to tie a direct name to it, it's Sugihara and Emmerich. There you go. You got two names.
Yeah, that wasn't even Joss. I know everyone likes to point it at Joss.
No, but that wasn't Joss.
It looks like Joss did plenty of shit, but I guarantee you he didn't want that face to look like that.
No, he... He fought the CGI part too. He's got plenty of fucking problems. But you know what? He's got plenty of problems, but as a professional in the industry, he knows CGI better than that. He fought that battle too. Yeah. There are Buffy episodes with a 20th of the budget of anything he was doing on a single day. More than that, a 40th of the budget that looked better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that we can blame a lot on Joss Whedon. That's not one of them.
Yeah, that's not. That is specifically Emmerich and Sugihara wanting to make sure that if the movie was a success, they were going to get their bonuses before the AT&T merger, before they possibly got shit canned.
Hold on. Yep. Clink. Oh, I can't make a clink sound. I was trying to make the clinking of champagne glasses sound.
All right.
It's not a good one.
No.
It's terrible.
Yes.
It's very dud sounding. It's almost as though you need those specific kinds of glasses to make that sound.
Oh god. Alright, this seems like a pretty good time because we don't have much TV news, so let's jump to break and then we'll come back with some more news and wrap her up.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, we're back. Hey, Jason, what's up?
Hey, Matt. Where you been?
Well, I sat right here and I wrote down a time, and that was fun.
No.
That's where I'll put Michael's music. And
he's just talking to somebody, and it's good you called. Right. I was just thinking, I wonder what happened in TV in the last couple weeks.
Yeah, well, we're not going to get to TV just yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We don't have a lot of TV, though.
Well, good. So. I made up that thought, so I don't have to actually be disappointed.
Right. The Wonder Woman 1984 runtime is revealed. It looks like it's going to be 150 minutes and 59 seconds, which places it 2 hours, 30 minutes, and 59 seconds. That is like 2 minutes less than the first Wonder Woman. So.
Cool. That's fine.
Yeah, that's cool. There, by the way, Ann Sarnoff, Warner Brothers CEO Ann Sarnoff. Take care of Emmerich.
so, she has become the new hope now. Like, okay, look.
Yeah.
Look. And all this is happening under your purview.
Emmerich and Hamada, they're screwing up your streaming plans there.
Emmerich's been a bastard for a while. Hamada. I might have been thinking about the corn hominy. Anyway, Hamada, best case scenario is just really confused and fucking up the how to handle it. Then that's best case scenario.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to blow up future shit, and he doesn't want to do that.
I think it's going to probably veer into much, much worse than that scenario. But anyway, we're looking at you.
Yeah.
We're looking at you.
So, Anne told the Hollywood Reporter that in relation to delaying Wonder Woman 1984, because it's still set for October, she says, we're still figuring out the strategy for all of our movies. We have quite a lot done. Obviously, Wonder Woman 1984 is up next. For now, it is where it is. Like I said earlier, certain movies deserve to be on the big screen. My belief is Wonder Woman is one of those. So, you know, I'm sure they're open to moving it at some point if they have to. You know, I don't know what's going to go on with this coronavirus crap. Mm-hmm. Like, I think AL.com just was talking about the CDC rolling out distribution protocols for some sort of COVID vaccine near the end of October or early November.
Yeah. So, all right,
I
so
don't know what that means.
Very briefly, exactly. If I read this correctly, Pfizer maybe is going to have something that can be rolled out on November 1st.
Interesting.
But that's like going into stage 4, which is jumping the gun a little bit. And stage 4 research is not – anything that comes out in 2020 will be like a year before – it normally takes much longer, even with – cutting every bureaucratic corner you possibly can, because there's a point where like you have to let a thing culture in a lab and see if you have to see if it grows in a lab, man. I mean, you have to see if it dies or lives, and that takes a certain amount of time.
Yep.
So if they're right, in theory, possibly November 1st is a rollout that they were asked to look at, that several states were asked to look into for distribution.
Yeah. So here's the thing. If Wonder Woman 1984 comes out in theaters, you know, there are theaters open right now. I don't know what the hell they're playing. I'm not going to see it.
I don't know. Yeah. It's not worth the risk for me right now. I'm sorry.
When 84 comes out, I will probably choose some sort of a matinee showing and social distance like hell and see it. We probably won't be an opening night. We'll get to it when we get to it. If there's a same day, hey, rent it for $20 and watch it on your TV, I'm going to do that.
I think they've slightly sworn off that they're going to do that.
You better think again.
It's a little bit backhanded. I mean, Milan's doing pretty well.
It's so stupid.
We shall see.
It's stupid. It is a stupid, stupid thought to be like, oh, we're not going to do that.
I've been mad at Christopher Nolan and Tenet for the same thing. Like, yeah, we got to push this thing to get into theaters in early August. No, the fuck you don't.
Well,
you don't. There are other ways to distribute that are safer and can make you as much or more money.
I don't give three shits about Christopher Nolan and his horse shit movies.
I realize that strong language. And again, message us. If you disagree, we're still going to disagree because, sorry, I completely agree with Dave's take on this. But, yeah, man, like, they...
Just the audacity. I just feel like that is, even putting aside my feelings for The Dark Knight Rises, okay? Christopher Nolan is such a pretentious prick.
Like, he has definitely come across that way.
He has best completely screwed over.
Has he come across that way sometimes? Yeah.
Like, he has completely screwed over theater owners who had converted to digital projectors.
Because
his movies have to be shown on film. Like, you converted it to digital to edit it, didn't you, you prick? Or were you sitting there cutting film? Jesus. I just get so mad, dude. I just get so mad. And now it's just like, oh, I don't want coronavirus. I'm going to put it in my movie. You can't release my movie out to things that aren't theater. Oh, God, just what a prick. I just don't like him. That's on a personal level, I think. I don't like him.
I get it. I get it. And I don't even really disagree. I'm sure we're making it a bit of a cartoon a little bit. But
yeah,
that's how it comes across. I get it.
At some point in the man's life, he says, well, I don't understand. If I give my movie an ending, then people will be able to judge it honestly.
No, here's the harsh part. I don't think it's that, I would call it self-aware, but that's not the right word. So I interpret some of the endings of his films as, why didn't you end your fucking film?
Yeah.
And he interprets them as, well, how it lives in the audience is the interpretation. And you know what? Look, there's an entire philosophy of aesthetics, like, corner of the world that has more to do with the audience than the purveyor or creator or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that there's not legitimacy to that view. I'm just saying I don't care for it.
Yeah. Look, I'm not espousing any viewpoint that he should die, that his family members should die. I'm not saying, you know, this isn't like some anti-Snyder shit, but with Nolan, like, it's not like, I'm not saying like he should never be allowed to make a movie again. I'm not saying any of that shit. He should be able to, if he can bring in an audience, people pay money to go see him. Studios are giving him money to make shit. He should be able to make whatever he wants, right? I'm fine with that. All I'm saying is I think he's a pretentious prick, and I'm not going to see or waste any more time or money on any of his bullshit movies. Because I know before I even go in, that shit's not going to have an ending. And the last act is going
to
be
utter bullshit.
I feel like
after you phrase it that way, you should have to also say, but you don't think he should die.
Well, you know, because so many people get on there like, Zack Snyder
like
should
you
burn
phrased
in hell.
It as, I'm not
Zack
saying Snyder what I'm should. Saying.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying he should, like, really suffer or anything. I'm just saying I don't like him. I don't dig his shit.
I get it. I get it. I've been a little bit annoyed watching his insistence that this be released in theaters, given that theaters are just not, by any stretch, the safest thing you could be doing at the moment. I'm not even particularly happy with Wonder Woman 84, the insistence that it's going to be a theater release.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about that myself.
I would have done it differently. Like, for my money, it would have been released already, and given the Milan comeback, it would have made its money.
Yes.
Given that and the fucking fandom thing, like, you would have made your money, man. Like, just release the shit. Let's do it.
Well, I mean, it's one more situation where Warner Brothers does not trust their IPs.
There's always been a little bit of that. And let's face it, that's the reason historically the animated, the game, TV versions of things have always done better, is because they don't try to take as much control over it when it's released in these lesser forms, so to speak.
Yeah.
And in those lesser forms, again, with giant, you know, go fuck yourself quotation marks that I'm making, including a mic bump.
like three.
Tried to make the quotation things and I hit the thing. Gesticulation gone wrong. Including all that, yeah, like some of the most successful things they've done have been in those formats. And rather than embrace it, sometimes there's an instinct to keep the old Hollywood model of, yeah, but the big pictures and blah, 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 bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
old Hollywood has had some problems for a while. And one of the things that COVID pointed out is we don't need certain versions of it as much as we needed, or we thought we needed. So, yeah.
I mean, I understand they're also still trying to keep – they're trying to keep, you know, good relationships with theater owners. They are.
I get it. And I don't – I like the experience of going to the theater. But
– I do not.
I
I there, loathe it, in fact.
Well, it's like you described earlier. I go to matinees when possible. I have as little interaction with my fellow human as possible, and I kind of enjoy the sitting in the big room with just the movie, you know? I get it.
My fellow human.
Look, I don't necessarily want to literally sit elbow to elbow with someone and then have to pee and walk over seven people and apologize to five people because I'm trying to group those seven that I walk past according to who I think they're there with right now, and just bullshit social stuff that, dude, I could just watch this at home and I would be very happy with the movie, and I would happily pay the price tag.
Yeah. I don't want to sit five row to five row with somebody. Like, I'm just like, I don't want to look down and see someone at the bottom of the theater because I'm like, ugh, they're going to be making noises. They're going to be like rattling shit. They're going to be sniffling. They're going to be like whispering to their significant other. I don't understand. What happened? Yeah. Well, why is she doing this? I don't understand why she's got a new costume on. Why she can't. We've never seen that costume before. Shut up.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it.
Don't bring your kids to a superhero movie. I'm just kidding.
I get it. There's a lot. There's a lot that can be lost. Also, like, man, yeah. I mean, there are things that can't be done otherwise. Like, you know, if you're sitting in a movie where there's a real emotional moment that hits and you get to feel that with everybody, that really does feel very different and very good in a way. Like, you get to experience that with other people, maybe a couple hundred other people.
Right.
A few hundred people.
But you're only going to really get that on, like, an opening night or something where everyone is, like, really invested. Because, like,
no, it's nine only going to be 10, that night. But if you can get it, it is something.
But there's so many people. There's awful. But, you know, there is that, like, groundswell feeling, or that you know, the whole room is energized in a certain way. You just go on your typical Friday or Saturday night. It's going to be, like, huge emotional heavy scene, and you're getting into it. And then, like, you hear some idiot teenager be like, she should show her tits. And you're just like, ugh. Yeah. That's done.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can discount that and keep looking at what I'm looking at. But yeah, I mean, there's like, I would rather not have heard the 13-year-old who was let in his take on this fucking movie. But like, certain things like laughing with a crowd or crying with a crowd that you can't really get except for a theater experience. I mean, granted, if you're, you know, before all of COVID, I got out to as much stand up as I could, just because it's really fun to actually see that, and it's really fun to see somebody actually do that art. And
it is.
And
I went with you a few times. Make that
work. Yeah, it's fantastic. But it's a very specific form of performance, and you can't duplicate it exactly. And it is it's something that's, I don't know, it's irreproducible. You have to have it to completely experience that in the room, which is fine. And that you know, you can transpose that to other forms of media, like movies and TV and everything. But have you heard stories? Surely you've heard stories, because you're a big MASH fan, about people that watched the MASH finale when they were at, like, when it aired.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the mechanism how TV worked, like, they, you know, it was groups of 30 people piled into a dorm room and shit, you know?
Yeah, and that, it was, and that doesn't account, so when you look at the ratings, which is still, like, the highest ratings of any show ever,
it was
30 million, the ratings said it was 30 million viewers, and that does not account for how many people were having
literally
end of MASH watch parties all watching the same room. TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it was
probably 150 million, just given an average.
And by the way, that finale is just heartrending and amazing, and maybe one of the best, probably the best finale that's ever been made for any show.
It was good. But there are certain experiential things that cannot be replaced. I get that. I cop to it. I understand it. There are also things that in my lifetime have come and gone. I'm only 36 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I've had to accept these things. You know, and if you take the first 10 years out, I've only been around a quarter century. I've had to accept that things come and go.
That's such a strange way to say that. But okay. If you take random numbers out, I'm only this old.
You take like the first 10 where you're just learning shit the entire time out before you can even begin to accurately judge something. Yeah, fuck those 10 years or whatever.
This is the appropriate age to start saying that. To start being like, yeah, we'll just cut out 10 years. I'm only 26.
There's a guy and a producer both going like, it's cool, we'll just cut those out.
Yeah. You've been editing too much.
Yeah.
Just cut those superfluous 10 out. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Whole point is there are certain experiential things in a theater that you cannot replace.
Right.
Live theater, a musical, something like that, you cannot replace that kind of experience. But a movie, I think you really can. And every other thing in my lifetime has gone the way of the dodo to some extent. Mm-hmm. Or even if it's not the dodo, it's something has changed so far that it's not in its original form. And it does it so quickly now that there is no equivalent to a dodo. Dodo's fucking gone. Right. We're out.
I think the days of the theater, we're at the beginning of the end. There are people with disabilities to consider, or differently abled people, if you want to call it that. There are, and I consider myself among that guys. It's so hard for me to enjoy a movie these days in a theater. Like even before COVID, I'm just so emotionally racked and weird. Like it's like a trigger point for me.
Yeah, we have talked about that. Like the anxiety kicks in just going in.
Yeah.
And that doesn't even mention, your back in general.
Right. My back is screwed up and.
Which doesn't love any version of sitting in a but not actually upright position for 2 hours.
Those AMC recliners were pretty nice.
Yeah.
They're really bad for your back. Any recliner is, but,
For a couple hours, anything can be okay.
It's several things. I think it really started with the Aurora, Colorado shooting during Dark Knight Rises, but where it was like I'm watching everybody that walks into the theater.
That was rough.
But that aside, there are tons of people who have lots of kids that can't afford to just like rally everybody up together and take them in. Or, maybe the movie is a little too dark. Kids go to bed. Guess what? You can plunk down your $20 and stream it. By the time it comes out on home video, you've forgotten it. I just think it's the way of the future and they just better get on board. That's all I'm saying. Sorry, Chris Nolan. He's going to have to be like Neil Young.
That is where we started all this. Sorry, Chris Nolan.
Chris Nolan is going to wind up being like the filmmaking version of Neil Young, like hanging out in the middle of nowhere, grousing about how digital music doesn't sound the same.
Yeah.
Like, damn Spotify.
I get it.
I'm going to write an album about it. Where are you going to release it? Spotify. Damn it.
I get it. And I'm one of those people that will happily collect vinyls because I want to know what it originally sounded like. But as a giant Beatles fan, if you tell me that something was mastered by George Martin, I'll be like, okay, that's OG, that's fifth Beatle. I'm on board. If you tell me it was done by Giles Martin, I'm like, yep, his son whom he trained the entire time. I'm okay with this. Remastered version of whatever? Sure, I'll listen to that happily. It does matter.
It matters. Sure. There's a difference. But is it that important?
Oh, no. I just mean in that context that I'll happily keep the importance and be okay. And I'm good.
Oh, you're just calling yourself a hypocrite. Cool.
Yes.
Let's move on.
I'm giving context to me being a hypocrite in some ways. But I don't need to see every film in the goddamn theater. I'll be okay.
Yeah.
And the fact is, another side point, just briefly. Do you remember your experience in a theater as much as you remember every other version of your viewing sometimes? Sometimes, like, the thing you watched with your friends at home later, 6 months later when it actually came out, is more important.
Yeah.
That may be more important from day one now.
Yeah. I saw The Life Aquatic in the theater and hated it. But by the fourth time I watched it with friends who just kept, you know, shoving it down my throat, I was like, you know, this is pretty good.
I watched it in college with somebody who thought it was shit, and I kept saying, like, you know what? Actually, and end of the movie, I think if I had seen that without his counterpoint, I would have maybe thought the movie was shit. And having the whole time having the counterpoint there, I thought, you know what? I actually kind of like this for this reason. And it was because of the live viewing with my friend that was there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I needed more context. I needed to sit and watch it a few more times and kind of see what other people were laughing at and be like, well, what is this? And why is this important? You know, see, when we saw that in the theater, let's face it, it was Montgomery, Alabama. There were probably three other people in there and none of them laughed.
Yeah.
I think they got duped into thinking that it was, you know, an old Bill Murray movie. Like, yeah. I don't know. But anyway. So there was an official, quote-unquote, official title card released by Warner Brothers. It wasn't really. It was just saying that Justice League was coming out. Zack Snyder's Justice League was coming out September 2021, but they've debunked that. They don't have an official release date other than just being sometime in 2021 at this point. So I still keep seeing people being like, September of 2021, we've got a year. I'm like, shut up. You don't know. It's not real. Yeah. It's not real. I have to swallow my pride a little bit here. Last episode, you tried to tell me, but I just wasn't hearing it. in that cast reveal trailer for the Suicide Squad, yeah, he's totally got the bones sticking out of some fleshy meat. Yeah, he's the detachable kid.
It seems like it, yeah.
A bunch of people came and was like, hey, dude, this is probably the detachable kid because of the things. And I'm like, oh, wait, what? And I'd like go back and look and go, like, I totally missed that. I was just looking at his logo on Nathan Fillion's outfit. I was just looking at the logo and it didn't have the fleshy meat. It just looked like two like arms crossed or whatever, two forearms crossed. But like, yeah, no, in the cast trailer, yeah, that's totally some like that's totally arm fall off boy for sure. And then I was looking into it and like they're just not gonna call him arm fall off boy, so Gerard Jones can't get money off of it.
That's fair.
Gerard Jones, by the way, this is why they don't want Gerard Jones before you start going like, oh, they're just trying to screw the creator.
God, I love how much what you're saying sounds like a shitty YouTube video.
Yeah.
This is why they won't let Gerard Jones. Okay.
Yeah. Well, here's why though. Dude's in jail for like possession of a bunch of child pornography. And they kind of just don't want their name associated with them. And they don't want to give them money. So.
So. Call it what you will. That actually even explains the Fillion disconnect. Right.
I'm not going to call him Arm Fall Off Boy. There's nothing in the script that says Arm Fall Off Boy. We're not saying that shit. So, yeah. And, you know, he might not be from the future. You know, it's probably just like.
I mean, he was Legion of Superheroes in that version.
It's one of those, like, I doubt that, you know, the boys are paying DC or Marvel for Batman or Black Panther with their use of Black Noir.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, you know, a reasonable facsimile.
Yeah.
Nothing more. But, yeah, sorry about that. I'm a dipshit sometimes. I'm not going to overly produce any, you know, piece of audio where I'm eating a crow or anything. I'm just a dipshit. Sorry.
I don't know who the fuck would do that kind of thing. Seems kitschy at best.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We had rave reviews for that, though. Everyone was so happy to hear you gag.
Yeah. Strained gulping went over very well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you know, porn is the number one. No, never mind. I'm not going down that. I'm not going down that path. James Gunn revealed that the inspiration behind his Suicide Squad film is the Dirty Dozen.
God. Oh, that little film.
Yeah.
Yeah. World War II, a rebellious U.S. Army major has assigned a dozen convicted murderers to train and lead them into a mass assassination mission of German officers.
It feels right.
Did we talk about how Starro was on those people's faces?
We did.
Oh, yeah, totally looks like Starro was in that trailer. Okay. I couldn't remember if we talked about it on the show or not.
I think so. Pretty sure. If we didn't, Starro! Woo!
Yeah. So James Gunn has been pushing for Harley Quinn season 3. He pointed out he had a video of his dog barking at any animal that comes on TV, including the animated hyena on DC's Harley Quinn.
Oh, that's nice.
And he says, the show is great, by the way. And then Patrick Schumacher, one of the showrunners, says, thanks for amplifying the show. Will the much sought after James Gunn bump trademark sign help get us a season 3? Seriously, have you heard anything? I have no idea. And James Gunn said, let's hope everyone watch Harley Quinn on HBO Max and help them get a well-deserved season 3. So that's nice.
If all of fandom had 22-ish, unless there was a ridiculous drop, that'd be all right.
Mm-hmm.
They'll make it.
I think it'll happen. All right, let's get to some of this right here. Robert Pattinson tested positive for COVID-19. So, the production is back. Shut down. It's shut down again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how that shit works.
Yep. And Sarnoff says, we're still in the middle of investigating what is the situation. We're pausing temporarily for now until we have more information. But we have all the protocols set up to do contact tracing and hopefully get back up into production very soon. With the Hollywood Reporter, she says there's no timeline to get back to work. She says, I don't see things changing until there is a medical solution, and unless we were to reach herd immunity somehow. Instead, we are just proceeding as if there won't be and resuming production as safely as we can. She also says, I think we never expected things to go smoothly. In fact, as we've been getting our protocols ready, we built in contingencies. If someone tests positive, you do contact tracing, you pause, you evaluate, and you come back when you can. I think it would have been naive to think we wouldn't have certain cases on certain productions. The most important thing is to be ready for when that happens. And we were very much ready.
That sounds pretty solid.
And a lot of people try to say, like, oh, there we have pictures of on-set work. It's resumed. Variety says, no, it has not. It has not.
You have pictures of things as they were published.
Well, this is just people, select crew doing construction on sets and props.
Mm.
It is not actual production.
Yeah, it's fair too. The hey, curiosity, did you see, I didn't look it up, the headline about Tom Cruise renting out a fucking cruise liner?
No.
I meant to look this up. I'm sorry. It could be absolute bullshit. Tom Cruise renting an actual cruise ship to house the production for Mission Impossible.
No, I did not see that.
One part of me thought that sounds insane. The other part of me thought, you know what? That could work.
I don't know about all that, man. Oh, all right. So as you heard previously in this episode, I don't give any damns really what Chris Nolan might think about anything.
Sure.
But I know several of you out there do. Several of you out there regard him as some, you know, god, as some sort of filmmaking deity.
I don't want to say, even, like, come at me in the sense that you're implying. No. I just want to say, if you disagree, we can disagree.
We can disagree, and I've got some news for you, because I know several of the people out there who do consider Christopher Nolan and his Batman films to be, like, the apex of the comic book movie. No matter how much I disagree with you. Here's the thing, because I'm tired of seeing you bitch about Robert Pattinson.
Mm-hmm.
Christopher Nolan just worked with Robert Pattinson on Tenet. And mm-hmm. he says, having worked with Rob, I can say with total confidence that he can do absolutely anything he sets his mind to. And I could not be more excited to see what he does with Batman.
Yeah.
So there you go.
That sounds right.
So there you go. You're Christopher Nolan, your god, says that you can like Robert Pattinson. You can like the sparkly vampire.
Look, your condescending tone aside. You and I have...
I'm so sick of seeing the sparkly vampire shit.
I know. It's bullshit. All right. But in all fairness to the Nolan Batman, we have said Batman Begins was good, and The Dark Knight was really good.
Yes.
Reservations with both. We have our reviews on record to bring up, but...
Not much has changed.
The Dark Knight
honestly.
Rises just tanked. Rises just tanked all of it so hard that it put a bad taste in our mouths.
Yes.
And then having seen Nolan's pictures here out, we're not in a good place with him.
Yeah. No, I'm not.
But Pattinson, oh, for God's sake, man. They backed Brink's truck up to the motherfucker when he was like, what, 18, 17, something? He was young. And said, would you like to do this friend tries where more Brink trucks will arrive? Fuck, I would have done it too, and I would have never questioned a thing.
Right.
Absolutely.
Like, I'm just, oh
I would have been a sparkly vampire in a goddamn heartbeat. That's what I can say there.
Yeah. Like, oh, sorry, get to make out with some girl that lots of guys fantasize about on screen and sparkle and, you know, be the heartthrob of, yes, and have all the money, mm-hmm. and I can just do whatever independent movie I want to do forever because I don't ever have to worry about money because I was a vampire for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's not even a thought. That's not even a, let me consider it and get back to you tomorrow.
It's like the EML barely registers as red. Before I'm replying. Mm-hmm. Yes. And what else? Oh, nothing? Great. Cool. That too.
Yeah. One of my friends tagged me in a post on Facebook. She's been giving me a lot of shit for being... She does not like the Robert Pattinson trailer. She doesn't like him being Batman. She doesn't like them besmirching Nirvana because now a bunch of teeny boppers are going to be listening to it. And I'm just like, dude, Nirvana is... They're trendy. They've been trendy for decades now. Like, you can go and buy a handbag in Walmart between a Beatles and a Rolling Stone handbag that says Nirvana on it. Sorry, teenagers are buying that shit because they like the design. They've never heard Nirvana. So, at least this way.
Now, and I'm not making this up in the slightest. So it's not an exaggeration. The neighborhood kid who cuts our grass has a Nirvana hat.
Uh-huh.
Black with the lime green Nirvana, you know,
Sure.
The smiley face Disturbed logo.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I keep wanting to ask him if he knows who the band is.
Yeah. It's okay if they do. It's not like we were around to hear the Beatles.
No, absolutely not. Well, like, it's fine.
Like, I'm slightly
adulterated in the sense that I kind of want to say, like, I'm nervous about asking him, hey, do you know who that is? And I'm also a little bit nervous because... Having grown up in the same era, that wasn't one of the bands I gravitated towards.
Yeah. But you don't want to be like one of those assholes, you know, that we hated when we were kids. When one of these adults who like walk up and be like, what do you know about Cheap Trick?
No, I know.
Probably more than you, asshole.
One day I'm going to ask the guy, hey, do you know that band really well? Oh, yeah. Have you heard so-and-so? No, I haven't. Tell me more. I grew up in the same era, and I don't fucking know, but what do you want to know about the Kinks? It's a conversation starter, I guess, but or it could be. But I'm also a little bit fearful that I'm going to ask him, like, what do you know about that band? Who? Okay.
Oh, well, that's nothing to be afraid of. You just go, oh, sad, and you walk away.
Well, I live across from the guy. It's not like somebody who comes and cuts the grass and we're like, well, never know each other outside this context.
Gotcha.
If I go jogging, I'm gonna see Noah and be like, hey bud, what's up?
Yeah, that's fair. But yeah, no, I got someone tagged me in a post and she was kind of giving me shit. She had a picture of Pattinson from Twilight and a picture of him as Batman. It says, huh, I guess vampires really do turn into bats. And my response was, that was hilarious a year and 3 months ago when the news broke. I was like, why don't you come at me with one of those Eisenhower zingers?
Yeah. It feels like a Conan Twitter post. Like, it's not wrong. It's just so the timing is so bad that it feels intentional almost.
Yeah. So you got any
got any Jimmy Carter jabs you want to throw in there? It's like, that Jimmy Carter and his damn peanuts, you know?
Yeah. Oh,
Lord.
Yeah. Oh.
All right. So hey, as much as I hated admitting that I was just woefully and willfully ignorant and wrong about the detachable kid.
I don't think it was all that. I just think there was like...
No, I'll never forgive myself.
No, I looked into it after your reticence and found that there was a lot to be reticent about. I just ultimately still agreed with that diagnosis.
Right. I actually felt good about this because Jeffrey Wright, the guy playing Commissioner Gordon, didn't recognize Colin Farrell on set as Penguin.
Nice.
He said, "I've worked with that makeup artist before, and it's just incredible. Colin walked onto set one day, and I walked right past him. I was like, okay, hey, dude, what's happening? Where's Colin? Are we going to shoot?" So I feel better because I watched the trailer and I didn't, you know,
no, these people and going, Colin would have spoken in like this perfect Northeastern Boston bullshit made up accent that would make sense at the time.
Yeah.
Dude is pretty fucking good at his job.
Yeah, he is.
It's really hard to fault him.
It is really weird because, like, I like Colin Farrell. As an actor, I don't know him as a person. He seems like a nice person from what I've seen.
It could be an absolute doucher. I don't know.
You see him in interviews. He seems like an all right person.
Yeah.
But there is so much internet hate for Colin Farrell. Like, so much. Like, it's like, you know, the kind of, if you like Colin Farrell and you let it slip, it's like if you're a Matchbox 20 fan.
Okay. No. Yes.
And I say that as a Matchbox 20 fan who gets shit about it all the time.
We were talking about the other day, or the same kind of apology was like, okay, but the Third Eye Blind album was pretty good. The first.
Yes. Well, all of the Matchbox 20 albums are fantastic. Third Eye Blind started sucking after the first album. Like, Matchbox 20 has remained good. I don't understand.
They came
from the same era. That doesn't mean they're the same quality.
I want to try to fall on the same pillar. In an attempt to die on the same hill, I want to say up until 2002, Our Lady Peace, I listened to those albums constantly.
Yeah, I never listened to it. I don't know anything about it.
The best I can give you as far as dying on the same hill.
Okay.
Off top of my head.
Yeah.
A little research, I may be able to come with something better. But I could actually probably name those albums up to the last one. I'm having trouble with the last one. Anyway, Our Lady Peace, Spiritual Machines was a goddamn masterpiece, and you can't convince me otherwise.
Well, like, but the biggest thing...
Fuck, I had no fucking idea.
Yeah, I have no idea.
You could have told me he was several people after you told me that, and I would have been like, okay, I don't know. Are we playing the Cups game? Like, it's the shell game, right? Is that under the first or third or whatever?
We ventured into an area I don't know how to respond.
Which person's Colin Farrell playing?
Okay. Yeah. I lost the narrative on that one, man. I'm sorry.
Is it the I guess dark-eyed, dark-haired mid-sized dude?
Right.
Or is it Mia Farrow? Or is it,
I don't know,
not even a joke, but actually Seth MacFarlane played by Colin Farrell?
Right. Oh, so yeah. Jeffrey Wright said he didn't think there was one shot of CGI in the entire trailer.
Yeah, it was cool.
So I'm down with that. He says, you know, he said that's all photographed. One of those scenes in particular, we were filming on the last day that we shot. We shut down March 13th on a Friday. Some of the stuff that we were filming that day is in that trailer. We were really stoked about what we were doing. He said, first of all, the script. When I read the script, I said to myself, yeah, this is on it. Because as you describe about Westworld, this shows very much about mystery, Batman, the series. You go back to the original, it's DC, it's Detective Comics, and the script is really beholden to that. Beholden to this idea that Batman is the world's greatest detective. I'm excited for it. Whenever, you know, Pattinson gets over his COVID, hopefully that's a thing that happens. And, you know, you don't ever know. I mean, you know, The Rock and his family tested positive, and they're all on the other side of it and going, like, yeah, we're all right.
Yeah,
it was rough, but we were all right now, you know. But then again, Pattinson might be one of these people that like wakes up in a hospital with like having had two lung transplants, you know.
I've seen people similar age, similar shape, to Pattinson that, like, lost vision for a second and were hospitalized twice and, you know, spent a week in the bed before they were, you know, it felt like they even resembled themselves. It's a weird one, man. Like, it hits a lot of different ways.
Yeah. I mean, you know, who knows?
And there's for sure a gradient for age, but shit, man. Did, if you get into that percent where the age doesn't matter, it gets weird.
Yeah. So Zachary Levi says that he confirmed that the plans were to shoot early 2021 for Shazam Fury of the Gods. He says they announced that we were going to do a sequel pretty much right after we premiered. They knew we were tracking well enough. They were happy enough with the numbers. So they have been steadily and earnestly working on the script for the sequel. And I think Q1 of next year is the idea. COVID has kind of made everything a little bit up in the air, but very much the intent is to make another one. We got to get to it fast. The kids are growing fast. He says it was going to be in April 2022, and then they pushed the date partly because of COVID. I'm actually quite grateful. I think a November release date is a better calendar spot. And all that was on Dan Fogler's 4D experience. So that was where that interview was. Go check that out. Batwoman. Looks like they're back in production, man. And like Cameron Johnson and Nicole Kang, who play Luke Fox and Mary Hamilton, they say everyone's being safe and distancing and wearing masks, but they aren't. Like, they're in this little Instagram videos. They're like all up in each other's faces, doing like multiple takes, laughing and shit. And I'm like, y'all ain't distancing. Lovely. This is not okay. This is stupid. This is
no way that ridiculous. Could backfire.
Like, they was all up in each other's grill.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, whatever.
It might be fine. We'll see.
TV Line is reporting that that Lucifer is filming their season 5 finale. They're finishing up what they were trying to get done before they shut down from COVID.
Mm-hmm. According to your people. Thank God.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, I guess it says they're starting September 24th, actually. Mm-hmm. And
I will say, according to the one episode I watched, also, thank God, please finish this up.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't talked a ton about it, but...
We have not. I have not watched it. My sister, who has been a fan of the show and really loved season 4.
The one we were excited about, as a refresher.
Kind of came... to me with a, have you watched Lucifer? And I was like, no, I'm kind of waiting around. She's like, oh God, it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean? Like they're back to their old tricks. She's like, oh no, they've devolved way past that. Like they're back to they're terrible now. Oh, well.
Yeah. And I don't know her experience well enough to, completely judge mine. I was already having a little bit of trouble finding time to watch the episodes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I found about an hour the other day, and sure enough, The Boys got to the top of the list because, I'd watched one episode of Lucifer, intended to go back for more. I think I got 10 minutes into the next episode. It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't also like as illuminating as season 4 maybe promised me that it could be.
Right.
And a couple weeks later when The Boys is out, not gonna lie, man, that made it to the top of the list.
Yeah.
I'm still only 25 minutes into that episode, but I'll get there.
For me, they put out the first half of season 5. We're gonna do a season 5 review.
Sure.
I'm not gonna remember that shit. I'm just gonna, I've watched too much stuff. I wasn't planning on watching it until the whole season was out, and then we'll do our review and be done with it.
Yeah. So for you, it'll be a second half of season 5, effectively.
Yeah, I'm just gonna watch the entire season when it comes out, when it's all out. Because I don't have time. I don't have time or the memory to be like, well, you know.
Yeah. I mean, realistically, given the way memory works, you'll remember the salient points of the first half.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, pretty much how it wrapped up.
Yeah.
But it's coming back anyway, so hell. Yeah,
it is coming back for 10 more episodes in season 6.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's been confirmed that it's going to be 10 episodes. I hope they find their footing and get good again before they slip off into the ether.
Mm-hmm. I hope Neil Gaiman narrates all 10 episodes.
He's too busy with the intros and outros.
Yeah, he's not. It was not that much on him. I listened to every episode of that.
No, I'm talking about the Netflix show.
Oh, the Netflix. Yes. Okay. But apparently he's had all the time in the world to tweak those episodes. That's the one thing he's bragged about is they had time to go back and look at stuff.
Yeah, he's focusing on that, not Lucifer.
He is. The Audible book was great, but his voice is always wonderful to hear, frankly. He's for being such a great author, he's got a wonderful voice to listen to.
Oh, yeah.
He's up there with, like, Douglas Adams for me. It was like, yeah, I could happily listen to you talk about your thing. I hope he has more time. I hope he has a little bit of time to delve into Lucifer's universe.
What?
Jackass wasted dream on my part. I have not seen any evidence that this will be true. I just kind of hope.
No. Well, that's it. That's all I got, man. That's all I got for this episode.
Yeah. Well, if you insist.
I know. We'll be back for the Fandome coverage next week. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you had as good of a time as I did, or better.
I'll give us this. I expected to be really bummed out, and I think we at least
made the most of it.
We made each other feel okay, at least.
Yeah. We had fun.
That news is still a little bit hard to deal with up front.
It is. It is. It, you know. Mm-hmm. But hopefully someone is paying attention and going, oh, shit. We need to stop shitting with Ray and get this cleared up.
Yeah.
Get rid of some of these assholes.
Yeah.
Save us, Jim Lee. Save us, Gilar. Sarnoff.
For us,
and Nelson, come back.
I know. That's what I was going to say. Like, the frustrating point for us is we've been doing this for a number of years now, and you know, we can pick a dozen names out of a hat of people that seemed like a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of didn't work out that way.
I was thinking, like, I don't think this is true. It might not be true. Mm-hmm. But then again, it might be. Based on how I was feeling this week. If Jim Lee ever just, like, if Jim Lee is gone, if ever they just say, like, Jim Lee's done, that might be the last piece of news that we ever talk about on this show.
Well, last episode of DC on Screen is the formation of Wild Hurricane. And we'll be following Jim Lee exclusively from this point on. Don't know who he's teamed up with. We think Todd McFarlane may be involved. Anyway, see you later.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're kind of thinking, you know, that may not be so bad.
I mean, you know, I don't know. It probably wouldn't be the end. It'd probably just be the day that, like, the show becomes just, like, multi-franchise, multi-companied, as if, you know, us sitting around talking about the Beatles and shit. Yeah, we're exclusively DC.
No, here's where it's going to get weird, is if we're sitting around talking about, like, okay, all right, here's what happened. So Warner Media is saying this. We think that may be relevant, but here's what we know. Warner Pictures is also saying this, and Warner Brothers as a whole is saying this as well. What we know is here's three versions of what's going on. Two and three are on basically the same page. Number one is on another page, and we don't know which one's happening at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So if you fast forward.
And then you start getting into another one of your really fascinating analogies about shells and cups. And
well, that's precisely where that's going to go. I think.
And then one of us starts having a stroke out of sheer necessity.
If I was just editing it, obviously that's where that would go. I couldn't even care that long. there's a version of what we cover that I'm afraid of where we're like, okay, this executive is only attached to this property technically. and this one is only doing this technically, and blah, 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 blah. We're like, at some point, we're just pulling up fucking quarter one tax statements from people.
Uh-huh.
But that's, I'm happy to get into it from time to time, but not necessarily what we intended to do when we started.
Yeah.
Not what we intended to do on the week to week.
Right. Well, what we intended to do when we started was bitch and make that's each other too. Laugh. So, yeah. And we've shifted quite a bit since then.
I also kind of enjoy getting into tax statements. So there's that too. So I guess coming around, we don't know, and we'll figure it out.
We'll be around somewhere.
Yeah, whatever the fuck form this comes out to. Just drawing other lines in my good and bad chart right now.
For the time being and for the foreseeable future, this is still DC on screen. And you can find every episode
at DC on screen. Warner Max on screen or Warner Brothers Pictures on screen. DC on screen.
As long as it's DC on screen, we'll cover it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I am actually a little shocked we haven't gotten any flack for liking Stargirl, but with Geoff Johns being at the helm. And by God, I really wish he wasn't at the helm of that. But, yeah. Or Doom Patrol in any real capacity. But I don't know, man. I've enjoyed him, and all I can hope is that his ass gets fired and they continue on unabated.
You know, reflective of my own personal journey as someone watching this stuff, I've enjoyed things, and then as I learn about people involved, I get a taste in my mouth that where I just wish certain people weren't involved anymore. That's the best I can do.
Yeah,
we're it's a learning curve, and we're trying to learn too.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're learning. We're learning that there's a bunch of assholes out there.
There's a lot,
and you know.
It's like one of those things where, like, how many people involved are assholes? If you'd asked me, you know, 6 years ago, how many people involved are assholes? 100%. Name them. Well, I don't know. Now I'm getting names, and, you know.
I didn't want those names.
Yeah, you don't want all of them.
Yeah, you don't want all of them. But yeah, at this point, I'm like, well, now I need to know.
Yeah, as it comes out, fucking goddamn it. Add it to the list. I've got a board and...
Yeah.
It's, yeah. All right, put it to the board. Who's a piece of shit now? Cool. Okay. Yeah, all right. Fuck that guy. I got it.
Yep. All right. Until next time, keep some DC on your screen.
Bye.
Our intro music is by Jason Goss and Michael Shackelford. Michael's band, Galactic Engineers of Magnetic Sounds, or GEMS, can be found on SoundCloud and Bandcamp. Visit DCOnScreen.com to find our Patreon, merch, contact information, and every episode of the show for free, including crossovers we've done with other podcasts. DC OnScreen is a maladjusted production. For more from me and Jason, including sketch comedy, vlogs, parodies, and our improvised web series Hey Guy, visit maladjusted.tv.
Are you maladjusted?
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.